Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate Confirmation Day as four confirmands confess their faith in Jesus Christ and receive the Lord's Supper for the first time. Our confirmation textbook, along with the Bible, was Martin Luther's Small Catechism. Martin Luther wrote the Small Catechism in order to summarize the main teachings of God's Word, the Bible. It's not just academic information. It is a practical summary of God's Word and meant to be a handbook for the Christian life. Martin Luther wrote the Small Catechism in 1529, which means it's been used as a handbook for practical Christianity for 496 years. Luther breaks up the Christian life into six chief parts. In our church, we call them the six chief parts. And those six chief parts are a summary of the most important teachings in the Christian faith, our most important doctrines. And we're going to briefly review those six chief parts today, because not only have those six chief parts been taught in confirmation at St. Matthew's since we started back in 1960, they are also part of our church architecture. The six chief parts are the theme for the stained glass windows in our sanctuary. Going from the front to the back of the sanctuary, the six chief parts are the first three windows on each side of the sanctuary. And you see those windows on your sermon outline this morning. We start on this side, the lectern side, with the first three windows, the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. Starting with number one, the Ten Commandments are God's rules for right and wrong. He gives us what is right and wrong. He gave us those rules in Exodus chapter 20 when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. We read them earlier, and that's what we see on the Ten Commandments window. We see God appearing in a burning bush. That's when Moses first met God on Mount Sinai. Later on, he gave Moses the Ten Commandments written on two tablets of stone. But you might notice that there are two tablets, but the commandments are not evenly spread out. It's not 1 through 5 and 6 through 10. It's 1 through 3 on the first one and 4 through 10 on the second one. Why is that? Well, Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments beautifully and practically for us in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Someone asked Jesus what the most important commandment is, and Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." By the way, I just want to mention here that all the Bible verses on your sermon outline are the words of Jesus himself. Luther didn't give us the six chief parts. Jesus gave us the six chief parts. Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments as loving God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving people. That's how they are displayed here. The first three commandments are about loving God. You shall have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. They're all about loving God. The final seven deal with loving people. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal, and all the rest. Loving people. Love God. Love people. Those are God's rule. The entire law is summed up in one word, love. But none of us does that perfectly. We all sin. We can all be self-centered, and we are all can be self-absorbed, and all of us can be just plain selfish. And so we need forgiveness. According to God's law, we deserve punishment, each one of us. And the punishment for breaking the law even once is death, physical and eternal death, which is why we need the other five windows, the other five chief parts, starting with the second window and the second chief part, the Apostles' Creed. Who is God? That's what the Apostles' Creed answers. This creed, this statement of our beliefs, which we already spoke in the service, tells us that there is one God, the triune God, the Holy Trinity. Jesus explains it for us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here, Jesus tells us that there are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but only one God. Baptize them in the name of the Father. Now in this window, the Father is represented by the hand, because by the Father's almighty hand, he created the entire universe and still preserves it. By his gracious almighty hand, he gives us everything we need for this body and life. He meets our physical and spiritual needs. The Son is represented by the Greek letters, chi and rho. The chi looks like an X. That stands for the letter C and H. The rho looks like a P. It stands for the letter R, which is what C-H-R, the first three letters of Christ. And according to God's law, so, the Son is our Savior, Jesus Christ. God saw that we could not pay for our own sins, So he sent his one and only Son in the world to pay for our sins for us. God so loved the world that he gave his own one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God the Son became a human being, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, was buried. Third day he rose again from the dead, and through his death and resurrection, he paid the price for all our sins and gives us eternal life as a free gift. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. After Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He's represented here in the form of a dove because that's how he appeared during Jesus' baptism. He is the one who calls us to faith in Christ and gives us the faith to believe in Christ. And he sanctifies us, makes us holy, makes us more like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit fills our life with the fruits of the Spirit, his love, his joy, and his peace. The third window, the third chief part, is the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer is about talking to God, right? Prayer is our half of a conversation with God. He talks to us through his word. We talk with him through prayer. Prayer is not something we have to do. It's something we get to do. It's not a chore. It's a privilege. The picture on the stained glass is a picture of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane where he prayed, "Thy will be done," right? Not my will, but thy will be done. And of course, that's part of the Lord's Prayer. That's how Jesus taught his disciples to pray, and that's how he prayed. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, and Jesus began with these words, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What an incredible privilege. We can talk to God about anything, anytime we choose. And we get to address him as our Father. Not our Creator, not our Lord and Master, not the big boss man in the sky. No, God invites us to call him our Father. And that's exactly who he is. He is our Father who loves us and cares for us. And he has adopted us into his family. And that brings us to the fourth chief part, the fourth window, over on the other side, holy baptism. Adopted by God. Moving to the other side of the sanctuary, the fourth window and the fourth chief part is holy baptism, one of the two sacraments that Jesus himself instituted. Jesus instituted at the Great Commission, which we previously read in point two, right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's the Apostles' Creed, right? Jesus instituted baptism to give us many incredible blessings. In baptism, we are given the forgiveness of sins. Acts 22:16 says, "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." In baptism, we're given the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." In baptism, we are born again. That's what Jesus says. Jesus says, in order to enter the kingdom of God, we must be born again of water and the Spirit. John 3:5, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." We are born into a new family, the family of God. In the waters of baptism, God adopts us into his family. We don't adopt God. God adopts us, giving us forgiveness, giving us the Holy Spirit, and giving us an inheritance in heaven that can never perish, spoil, or fade. The inheritance is eternal life with God forever. Number five, the fifth window and fifth chief part is the office of the keys, being forgiven by God. Of course, forgiveness is what these windows are all about, isn't it? Keys are important to either lock or unlock. The office of the keys gives the church to lock or unlock the kingdom of heaven. This is done by the power of forgiveness. The office of the keys was given to the church in last week's gospel. We read it. When the disciples were gathered in the upper room, the risen Savior appeared to them, breathed on them, and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." John 20:22-23. The office of the keys is always involved in confession and absolution at the beginning of the service, right? Forgiveness is at the heart of everything we do as disciples of Jesus. Jesus died so that we could be forgiven. That's how important it is. Now, forgiveness is a gift, and gifts can be rejected. Anyone who refuses to acknowledge their sins and repent have rejected Christ's forgiveness. They've rejected his gifts, and therefore the church has to let them know they are not forgiven. But God assures us in 1 John 1:8-9, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The office of the keys is about confession and absolution, the forgiveness that is ours through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And brings us to point number 6. The last chief part is Holy Communion, which tells us that we are friends with God. The 6th and final chief part is Holy Communion, the second of the 2 sacraments instituted by Jesus. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and after giving thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples. Notice again what we receive in the sacrament of Holy Communion. Take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Matthew 26:26-28. Jesus, once again, wants to assure us through his very own body and blood that our sins are fully and freely forgiven. Notice the last 5 windows are all about forgiveness of sins. The 10 commandments tell us that we need forgiveness. All the other ones are the gospel telling us how God gives us his forgiveness. If someone invites you for dinner to eat at their table, they are extending the hand of friendship to you. That's what Jesus does here in the Lord's Supper. He is our Lord, our Master, our Teacher, our Savior. But along with all of that, as he shares with us in the Lord's Supper, he shows us to be our best friend. Here in the Lord's Supper, he extends the hands of friendship to us. He's our best friend who desires to eat with us, to fellowship with us. That's why, again, like the Lord's Prayer, the Lord's Supper is not a duty or a chore. It's not something we have to do. It is something we get to do. It is an incredible privilege and honor. What an honor to be invited by the Creator of the universe to be invited to his house and to his very table, that we can experience a feast that he has given us in his honor. What an honor, what a privilege, what a friend we have in Jesus. And today for you, Heath, Lucas, Lorelei, and Evan, the Lord extends that invitation to you. You've been taught, you've been prepared, you are now ready. Join us today in the Feast of Victory, in the fellowship of this altar, in the very presence of your Lord, your Savior, and your very best friend, Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.